Good morning, church family. We're so grateful that you are here with us today. You get the Mrs. Pastor today, and Steve allowed me to come alongside of him and to bring a word to you, and I am so grateful that you could have been anywhere this morning, but you're choosing to be here with us. And for our visitors, I pray that this will be such a personal message for you, that this will touch your heart and encourage you. If you would, allow me to pray over the message before we get started. Lord, thank you so much that you have called me to preach the gospel, that you have equipped me with the ability to speak to the people. And Lord, I pray that for the word today, that most importantly, that our focus will be upon the word and that it's living and that it does something powerful in the lives of the people. I pray that the people will recognize how important it is to speak the word, to believe the word, to trust in the word, to pray the word, and most importantly, to live out the word. I pray for people today that are hurting, that they will find a place of comfort in you. I pray today that people that don't know you, that they'll come a place of salvation, to have a personal relationship with you. I pray for people who are walking maybe in some deep emotions, God, that you will help steer and navigate that for them today, God. Most importantly, just you receive glory. May the focus be upon you and your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, in this coming sixth week of this season, where all of us have something in common of this isolation from people, that I'm praying that you will see the opportunity for new growth in your life. And that's where we're going today, that I want you to see this message as opportunities for you to have new growth. So we're all very aware that out of adversity comes growth, but also just in daily, ordinary, maybe even quarantine tasks, that God can use those moments to grow us. New growth as a believer is such a powerful weapon in being light in darkness, and also a trusted tool, if I might say, that God could use us. And so I begin with the scripture in John chapter 16, verse 33. In the Amplified Version, it says, Jesus said, "In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you." That's so powerful. And if I could just take a moment to dissect that even more, take a few words of that scripture that will help you better understand how to connect this message of new growth, where we can take the word and live it out in our lives. And what I mean by that is letting it become who you are, how you make decisions, how you react, how you speak to people, all of that inside of you coming out naturally. So let's look first at that word tribulation. In the Greek, it goes deeper to mean a situation so difficult that it causes us to feel stressed and squeezed, pressured, or crushed. So now you might look at that scripture a little bit differently now that you know the meaning. The second word is overcome. That word comes from the Greek word nikos, which means victory. Now, in this verse particular, it's not referring to a single victory, but a continuous abiding victory, meaning he is in an overcoming position over the world. And lastly is the word world, which translates to cosmos in the Greek meaning. And this was very interesting. So it's not talking about the earth. It's talking about the world, meaning the arena where Satan attempts to wield his influence. Now, these were basically the last mentoring words that Christ had for his disciples before he was betrayed by Judas and was seized and bound to the cross. Now, we see this about him speaking to them totally different now that we have taken that scripture and broke it down even further. So basically, this is what he is saying to them and saying to you. So when you're reading God's word and speaking to you, because we know the word of God is living, it's active, it's personal. So as I'm saying this, think of it as he's saying it to you. He's saying you will have situations so difficult that you'll feel squeezed. You won't be exempt from them, so don't let that scare you. Be courageous and confident, because I'm in a continuous overcoming position in this temporary arena where Satan attempts to wield his influence. I have to believe that that's how the disciples heard that, knowing the deeper meaning of those words. Did they understand fully, do I think, what was about to happen? I don't think so. Did they understand things were about to look totally different and difficult days were ahead? Yes, I believe so. But let's just imagine up to that moment what growth looked like in these men. Let's just take it down even more specific on a smaller scale, that particular moment when he spoke that verse. Let's break it down to the secluded moment, no crowds, no voices, no noise, no critics, no fans, just this isolated spot where Christ was speaking into them, which is really what he does to us every day when we open up God's word. He's speaking to us. But this was a perfect example, a moment, if you will, of opportunity for new growth. And I want to really emphasize that, of an opportunity for new growth. Because just because you're there and you have this moment surrounding you, or just because you have words spoken into you, doesn't mean growth is taking place. New growth takes place when we do something with it. So for the disciples, what did they do with it? Well, because they did something with it, boldness took place that followed the spread of the gospel. What else happened? It was the mindset that happened that took them to a place to be devoted in prayer and to know where their help lies. How else do we see new growth? That they had courage to face danger and confidence to trust God in all things. It was the firm footing in God Almighty versus maybe listening to these loud voices of influence of the culture that was constantly changing. All of these things were situations that they had the opportunity and they took a hold of it and they did something with it. And we know the Bible is full of people and situations that allow us to see spiritual growth. But also we see in God's word opportunities where it was given and they didn't do anything with it. I think of that saying that we've all heard before, that you're either growing daily or you're dying gradually. We know Abraham, he showed growth in his faith and dependence on God. He grew in taking care of his family and even being hospitable toward people. Moses showed growth as a leader. He set the Exodus in motion. We know that he grew in confidence, that he was a man that was unsure of himself, and that he had to have courage to do the right thing. He grew in that. Rahab, not only did she grow by being in a lifestyle of sin and in that scene how she needed salvation, but she grew in the fact that she saw that even faith as tiny as a seed, that was going to give her an enormous amount of courage to be placed. She was a part of a historic situation. We know that David grew in allowing God to prepare him for greater things, in listening to God's voice. And I love the fact that I noticed that he grew in understanding that forgiveness, though it happens, but the consequence of sin still follows with that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego grew in real friendship. They grew in conviction, deep conviction, and they also grew in a level of trust because they had no clue what the outcome was going to be and what was before them, and they had to just trust. We know Joseph grew in integrity and obedience, but also humility. And Ruth and Naomi, they grew in commitment and selflessness. These are just a few names maybe that you know of in the Bible, but there are, this doesn't even include names in the Bible that played small roles in a story, but they were just as significant in having new growth in their life. Now, for me personally, I just want to share with you areas of growth in my life. I know, I'm certain that there was places in my life that God saw that He needed to see new growth from me, from experience. And I needed to give it to Him. One area particular is marriage combined with ministry. That was very difficult in the beginning stages. I mean, in life in general, marriage, you know, is a work in progress. And we know in whatever gift God's given you, whether it be in ministry or your job occupation, that's a huge opportunity for growth. But for me personally, those two combinations, I had to learn a lot of things. I had to grow in what it means to have sacrifice, but also in balance. We both had to balance some things out. I definitely had to grow in confidence. I did not have any. And then communication with my husband, that had to take place in our lives. And that was a work in progress, but definitely it happened. I had to make a choice and decide, what am I going to do with this? And what helped me, I'll tell you what a big question was, is I had to ask myself, is God going to trust me with bigger things? And He does when you allow growth to take place in your life. Now, becoming lead pastors was definitely a door open for new growth for me. It was almost like God was just gently nudging me to accept this platform, this position, to do something that He knew that I was ready for. And I was hesitant because I was very comfortable and safe being at a place where I was unseen. So for you, it might be whatever place that you're at that you're like, oh, I'm good, I'm safe, and I'm comfortable here. But it might be God saying, just kind of shaking His head and saying, but I've got more for you, and I know you're ready for it. And so that was definitely an area that I grew in. Like anyone, balancing all of our careers and ministry and raising my three girls to be successful, godly women, that definitely grew me immensely. But now we're here. We're here at this place in isolation from people, from our jobs, our ministries, from celebrations, milestones in people's lives, and even, to be honest, some people isolated from people that are sick and those that have already lost their lives. And I think about, that's a lot of emotion to have to work through. And I want to say today to give yourself permission to work through those emotions, because God can handle that. His shoulders are big enough to handle that. And He wants you to work through that because He gave us emotions. And He wants you just to use wisdom in how you do. But it's okay. I think sometimes we feel like if our situation is an extreme and we're not facing something life-threatening, that we don't really have permission to be sad or to be frustrated or to be hurting. And we do. It's not fair to compare sadness. And I think about our youth pastor. I just think of a few examples to be personal with everyone. I think about our youth pastors. They were supposed to get married last Saturday. And my heart just was hurting for her. I don't know how she feels. I haven't really got to speak with Brooklyn, but I know I sent her a text and I said, I'm thinking about you today. I know today was supposed to be, you know, your magical day, and she's dreamed about it. Every young girl dreams about that. You plan for it. And it got put on pause, and she had every right to feel sad that day, that it wasn't taking a place for her. For me, I think of different situations that have happened, and I just needed a moment to be sad. I needed a moment. When our trip got canceled, I was sad. And I needed a moment to work through that. That was at the beginning when this whole thing started to shut down. I just needed a moment to work through it because I had looked forward to it and planned for it for so long. My second daughter is about to have her baby next week. We're super excited about that. And I'm sad. I had to work through that emotion that we won't get to be a part of that. My oldest daughter, a few months ago, Morgan, had her baby, and we all got to be there, and I got to be in the room, and I got to be a part of that new life, and that was a moment that I'll be so grateful to. And now I don't get to experience that with my second daughter. And that's okay for me to be sad. I shouldn't feel guilty for being sad about that. And so I want to say, give yourself permission to be sad and just lay it at God's feet and allow Him to work through that. Because why? Why am I sharing these stories with you? Because it allows you to grow. And it also gives you compassion for people. I really am hurting for the people that have lost people during this time, and their funeral has had to only be a few people. I mean, that's grandchildren that did not get to go say bye to their grandparents. And I have very much compassion for people that are in the hospital alone, by themselves, that don't have their family members there to hug them and to surround them. So I think in this, we grow because it gives us compassion for people. That was kind of a side note to what I was saying, but I wanted to put that out there. So I've asked the Lord to show me how I can grow from this particular situation, and I wanted to share that with you. I had four thoughts here today. So the first thing I have grown is that to see the need and appreciation of in-person interaction with people, that we were not created to be people of isolation. And no better person to say this than me, because I am pretty much an introvert. I'm okay with silence. I'm okay with being in a corner with a book and everybody else, the party's going on. I'm okay with that. But for me, what it's taught me is that I even need people, not just for myself, but the influence that I can put on people and to mentor people and to encourage people. And so I know that we sometimes have two extremes here. We have people that are okay being by themselves, and maybe this hasn't disrupted you whatsoever. And then we have people that have energy and have life, and they need to constantly be around people. And I think this is like teaching us that there's a balance here, that for sure that there are going to be moments in our life that we need to be okay with pulling back and to be still. God asks us sometimes to be still, and we need to be okay with being with the people that we love and being creative, doing things. But there's also the need of relationships, because the gospel message will not be shared if we don't have human interaction with people. Yes, we have all different forms of medium for that to take place, but our lives really change when we see it lived out in other people's lives. That's how I came to know the Lord. It was that you build relationship with people and you think, wow, like how you handled that situation, or you just seem like you really are at peace. And it gives opportunity to ask questions and sharing the gospel message. So the scripture that I can share with you that backs that up is Acts 2, 42 through 47. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I want to really let you focus on that word, devoted. So that was a priority for them, to meet with other people. And it goes on to talk about, me just summarizing that they ate together. They found out that they had common interests together, and relationships were being built. And what does it say at the end of that scripture because of that? It says salvation was added daily. And that can only take place because they made it a priority to meet together. The second thing that I find that we could grow from in this situation is the value of productivity and routine. We were not meant to be people that do nothing. We were meant to be doers. I know that Proverbs 19:15 says that laziness casts one into a deep sleep, unmindful of lost opportunity, and the idle person will suffer hunger. I love how it says that in there, that you are unmindful of lost opportunity. And so I feel like that this scripture isn't just talking about our physical need, that talking about your spiritual state, your emotional state, that we were meant to be people that are doing and having purpose. An idle life is an empty life. Really, an idle life is also a dangerous life. I want to point out here that during this time, and I have prayed for this in my personal time with this, that sometimes an idle life opens the door for people to be tempted in areas that they should not go. And so I have prayed over homes, that what they're watching, what they're listening to, where their mind is going, because the enemy knows that battleground of idleness, and he likes to feed on that. So be thinking about that, that you were meant to be productive. The third thing of area of growth is just the awareness of a society of healthy habits and boundaries. There is a reason why we're at this place we are right now, that maybe we took some things for granted. Maybe we weren't intentional about things as a society. I think about that scripture in Proverbs 3:5, just that small portion that says, lean not on your own understanding. Possibly, maybe up to this point, we leaned on our own understanding. And even from this point moving forward, we need to be careful not to lean on our own understanding, that we need to look to God for wisdom. I mean, he says it in Proverbs chapter 2, that we need to be people who walk in wisdom and understanding. But also, he's placed people in a profession with experience and knowledge to speak into people. So we need to take all of that into account. Do I think that we're going to just jump back and society's going to look the same? No. I think it might be a gradual process, but we'll eventually get back there. We'll eventually get back where we can hug people and shake someone's hand. It might take a while before things look the same, but just being aware is what I'm saying, that we can just be aware and learn from it. The last thing is trusting the Lord and being patient in a long, unsure process. That's a good one for every area of our life. Deuteronomy 31:6, a good promise to hold on to is, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before them, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Really take that scripture to heart, because if we are listening only to the media, in the voices are around our culture, people are going to be afraid and they're going to tremble. And we have to be very cautious to know what we're allowing that are to hear, and that we have to trust God. We have to trust the process and be patient in this. This is a great time to apply these verses in our life. That's where new growth comes from. So I pray today that really, if anything, it allowed you to maybe think about some things you haven't thought about before. And if there's anyone here today that's online, that they're listening, and you've not ever had a personal relationship with Christ, I really want to encourage you that it will be the best decision of your life. As I stand here, not everybody who's looking at this, you might think, oh, well, she's the Mrs. Pastor. You know, she's always been, you know, in God's word. She might be raised like that. I haven't. I didn't come to know the Lord until I was in college, and it was the best decision of my life. I knew that where I was at, that there was more, and I got connected with someone invited me to a Bible study, and I was like, sure, why not? And my life has literally never been the same. Once I came to know the Lord, my life has never been the same. And that's the same promise for you. And so I pray that today that you will believe in your heart and you will just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And that when this is done, that you will find a church and that you will be discipled and you will fellowship with other believers and you will be encouraged and you will grow and you'll find a place to serve and to give. Let's not forget about how important that is for the church. And so that's what I pray, that for those, whoever you are today, that if you're lost, that you would find him today. And of course, for everyone else, I pray that this was a moment of encouragement for you. And if you would allow me to just pray a blessing over you and that this word will just stay inside of you. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity for the gospel to be spread and for us to meet with our church family digitally. We're just so grateful for that. I thank you for the technology. I thank you for that you've given us people that have the knowledge to put all of this together in the time. Father, today I pray for our church family. I thank you that I just pray your word over them. I thank you that you are their refuge, you are their fortress, you are their protection, Lord. And I just pray a protection over them, that no sickness, no disease, no tragedy will come near them. I thank you that you defend us, that you protect us, God, that you are our source, you are our provision. You go before us, you're behind us, you surround us, Lord. I just thank you for all of that. And I pray for the hearts and the minds of our people, that they will stay healthy and strong, that they will be listening to the right things, that they will be devoted to reading your word and to prayer, and that they will be growing. They will be growing daily, and there will be people that are positivity. I pray that the believers will be people that represent you well. They will be positive in sharing hope for people and to be there, be a sense of comfort for people and encouragement. I do pray today that if there is someone that doesn't know you, I pray that they would just come to you and not worry about where they've been or what's before them, Lord, but that they would just believe in you as their Lord and Savior, that they would confess, Lord, their sins and that they are a sinner, and Lord, and accept you in their heart and forever knowing that they will be with you in eternity. And I pray for the days that follow for discipleship to take place, that you will surround them with the right people to show them and help them grow. I do pray for that. I pray for people that are hurting. I know that some of our church family and even people that I don't know, that they have lost loved ones during this time. I pray for comfort for them. I pray for people who are in the hospital alone without their family. Not only do I pray for their healing, but I pray for the family, that how they're having to be separated from that, that you would show them that you are with them, that you never leave them or forsake them. Even if the location is different, you are there. Lord, today, I pray that this word comes alive inside and falls on good soil, that it's not choked out by something, but it falls on good soil and that our people grow from it. Until, Lord, we come together again, Lord, bless our people, protect them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much for being here. I mean, I miss you. I know we don't get to see you guys until on Wednesday night when we have our live Facebook chat and you get to see Steve and I on our front porch, but we pray blessing over you all. We pray nothing but goodness and joy to happen in your lives, and we will see you guys again in a week. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us. A few things before we go. Our offices are currently closed, but if you need any assistance or prayer from the church, please give us a call at 918-486-3110 and leave us a voicemail. You can also find out the latest videos and news by checking in on our Facebook page. And you can still give your tithes and offerings online at agcoweta.generush.org. We love you and we hope to see you soon.